Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Hey, we're going to go ahead and start some carols, so join us if you want to. Page 123 in the hymnal underneath your seats, or they'll be on the screen. 123. O come, Emmanuel.
Oh,
5:7.
Stars in the sky, look down where you You know, this is one of my favorite times of the service, the My Three, and this remembering those in our lives who don't know Jesus. And, you know, Christmas is a reminder of the greatest gift that's ever been given to us, and that's God's Son. And it tells us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, see, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The greatest gift that God ever gave us with his son Jesus. And he did that so that we could be restored to him. And we know there's a lot of people in our lives that don't know about that free gift. It's one that is freely available to everybody. And that's why we set aside this time, is to pray for those who don't know Jesus. And we know that God hears our prayers. He has answered our prayers over and over, and even some of the most difficult situations. Let us not give up on praying and letting the world just get busy around us that we forget to pray for those who don't know Jesus in our lives. Instead, let's keep lifting him up by name, knowing that God is the one that transforms them from the inside out. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and I want you to pray for those three by name. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and Lord, we know that you love us, that you created us with a purpose and a plan. And Father, you know the people around us that may not know you. Father, you may know the people that are sitting here today that don't know you. Lord, we ask that you do a new work inside of their hearts. Father, we are not ones that can save others, but we know that you can. And Father, we lift them up by name inside of this moment. May we remember them day in and day out. May we continuously lift them up, that they too may come into that free gift of salvation that your son Jesus brought. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name. Down from glory.
Father, we say thank you that you are a living hope. We say thank you, Father, that we can just come before you this morning and say thank you for breaking the chains and making a way where we can actually just meet you face to face. So, Father, we just say thank you that we can just come before you this morning. You are worthy of our praise, and we thank you for all that you've done for us. You are a good, good Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. As we continue to celebrate the season of Advent, which is a season of leading up to the birth of Jesus, we want to look back at the first Sunday, which was lighting the candle of hope, the Lord is coming. The second Sunday of Advent, we lit the candle of peace. Jesus will give us peace in our lives. Last week, we lit the candle of joy. We have the joy of looking forward to the birth of our Savior. This week, we are lighting the candle of love. Also, known as the angel's candle, symbolizes God's love revealed in Christ. Purple reminds us once more of the royalty of Christ and the love that motivated God's plan for salvation. John 3:16 through 19, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because of their deeds were evil." Let's pray. Lord, as we light this candle of love, we thank you for sending your Son as a gift of unconditional love. Let your love fill our hearts this season and help us to love others as you have loved us. May your love guide us and shine brightly through us in all we do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can we also give it up for them? Yesterday, they celebrated 28 years of marriage. Thank you, Jeff and Ann. Well, good morning, church. Man, it's good to be here this morning as we come together to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the whole reason for the season. I want to welcome everybody here this morning. I also want to welcome our guests that are here and those joining us online and the radio. We are thankful for you, and we know there's a growing group of you. But before we dive into the message this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, I ask that this morning that it's your words that are spoken. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. And Father, I ask that your words may penetrate even the hardest of hearts, that we may look inside of ourselves, and that we may see what you have for us. Lord, I thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Christmas is only 3 days away. So for those of you who have not started shopping yet, you still have time. But I do need to let you know that Amazon will no longer get your packages here on time. So you're going to have to physically go somewhere. So just kind of keep that in mind. I recommend tomorrow afternoon is a good time to start if you haven't yet. This morning, though, as we are continuing our Christmas series this year entitled The Coming Savior, You know, in the first week, we looked at why do we have Christmas? What's the purpose of Christmas? We looked at what the world often says about Christmas and the reason that the world celebrates Christmas. Because Christmas is something that is celebrated by many people, not just Christians anymore. It's celebrated throughout the world, and it's often called the happiest time of year. I mean, within our society, Christmas has kind of taken a life of its own over the years, hasn't it? Even to the point that the world has tried to remove Christ from Christmas. Yet when we dove into the text, we can clearly see that if it wasn't for Christ, we wouldn't have Christmas to begin with. That Jesus is the reason for the season. He's the reason we celebrated, and we do celebrate Christmas. And we can also see throughout the text as we read that Jesus was not an afterthought of God. This wasn't something that God came up with thousands of years later. In fact, when we dove into the text last week, we can see that God started to prepare the way for his son to come. All the way back in the beginning of the scriptures. And not only did he prepare a way for his son to come, he started to tell the world that this was going to happen. You know, often when we think of Jesus, we think of the New Testament. But as we read through the scriptures, we can see that God was telling the world about his son all the way back in the beginning, way before the New Testament. And we can see the very first reference to Jesus back in Genesis chapter 3 already, where God starts talking about sending the Savior. That God had planned on sending his son to make a way where there was no other way. And he did that out of the love that he has for each one of us. A couple of ways in which God showed us Jesus in the Old Testament is through the lineage and the records of the scriptures. The fact that the lineage records point to Jesus. The scriptures tells us that the Messiah would come from the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and that it would come from the line of David. On top of that, we saw in the text last week that the Messiah would be a prophet like Moses, but even greater. That even the law of Moses, the Old Testament covenant, all pointed to the Messiah and the need for a Savior. But that very sacrificial system that the Jews upheld pointed to a need of a Savior and what he would do for us. For example, when Israel's were in Egypt, the 10th plague came around, they were told to place the blood of the lamb over the doorpost and they would be saved. Just as Jesus' blood covers our lives and saves us. And it continued over and over throughout the scriptures. We see the prophecies and the passages pointing to Jesus. Some of them are very clear in what they're saying. Others are more of an overview or a glimpse of what the Messiah will do. But again, it points to Jesus over and over again. And throughout the scriptures, it always amazes me how God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. How he used ordinary people to achieve his plans that he laid out. Throughout the scripture, whenever God makes a promise, whenever God does something, he always seems to do it in partnership with his creation. And he often does it with the most least likely of people. I mean, all we have to do is look over to Abraham. Abraham was a man that loved God dearly and wanted to serve God, wanted to do everything he could, yet Abraham and his wife had no children, and they were of old age. Yet here God was telling Abraham that not only would he have a child, but his descendants would be so great, they would be more than the number of stars in the sky. Here we have God telling Abraham that the world would be blessed through him. That the Messiah would come through his lineage. Can you imagine how Abraham would have felt inside of that moment? Really? Don't you know how old we are? And you're going to accomplish this? And God kept that promise with Abraham. Even when his wife Sarah became too old, God blessed them and they had a child. Even when Abraham screwed up and had a child with Sarah's servant, God still kept his promise. To bless Abraham and Sarah with their own child. And it was through their child Isaac that God fulfilled his promise to Abraham and to the world. Even though Abraham and Sarah didn't have children at young age, even though they would have been considered some of the most unlikely people for God to use to fulfill his promise, God used them. And we see that throughout the scripture. And God does the same thing with King David. In the Old Testament, we find that Israel was begging for an earthly king. They were begging to be like the other nations around them. And we see that God gave them Saul. Now, Saul was what you would expect of a king. The scripture tells us over in 1 Samuel that Saul was an impressive young man. In fact, he was one of the most impressive people among all of Israel. He stood head and shoulders higher than everyone else. He had this appearance of a king. So Israel made Saul their king. Yet eventually Saul went against what God asked him to do. And he did not rule in the way that brought God honor, to the point that Saul was told that someone else is going to take over his throne. And so we see God making a decision to bring in a new king, someone the Israelites would not have expected. But remember, God often uses the most least likely people to achieve his mission, to achieve his goals. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, when the prophet Samuel was out looking into anointing the next king, God told him, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart." You see, the new king would become King David. And David was so unexpected of a person that when Samuel came to David's father and asked him to line up his sons, that one of his sons would be the next king of Israel, David's own father didn't put David inside of that lineup. He was a simple young shepherd boy. Yet this young man grew up to be one of the greatest kings Israel ever had. And God made a promise to David that the Messiah would come through his lineage, that the world would be blessed through David, that God would establish an everlasting kingdom through David. Yet David's own father didn't see him worthy enough to be brought up into this lineup. God often uses the most unlikely people to achieve his plans. And that pattern continues over and over in Scripture, where we see God using people to bring forth his promises, and often people that we don't expect. And these people are not perfect. These people are not saints on their own. They make mistakes. These people sin just like the rest of us. They had their struggles. Abraham, for an example, slept with another woman beside his wife to try to bring about God's promises in his own way to get ahead of God. King David slept with another man, then tried to have it all covered up by having the man killed in battle. Yet David was called what? A man after God's own heart. The Bible says that Abraham's faith was credited to him, even through his sin. These are not people that underneath any other circumstance we would look at, because their sins were great, just like the rest of us. But the difference was they looked to God, they admitted their sins, and they acknowledged their faults, and they were willing to serve God wherever God called them. And we see that on repeat throughout the scriptures. And this is not a pattern that just occurred inside of the Old Testament. This was a pattern that we see throughout the scriptures going into the New Testament. Jesus, his own disciples, were not men that we would expect God to choose to tell the world about his son. They were simple men. They were not part of the religious establishment. They didn't have fancy degrees or big educations. They were fishermen, a tax collector, a zealot, and more. These are not people the world would have chosen to bring forth the good news of the Messiah to the world around them. Yet God chose these men because they were willing. They were willing to count the cost, to go and spread the good news of Jesus, to take a stand for the truth, even when it cost them everything. And we know it cost the disciples dearly in their lives. And when we look at the birth of our Savior this morning, we can see God again choosing people that the world wouldn't have chosen to fulfill their plans, to keep his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Moses, to fulfill his promise to King David for an everlasting kingdom. These were simple people that were willing to say yes to what God asked of them. You know, the scriptures tells us over in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 27, that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Here we see the scripture painting a picture of the beginning of the nativity of the birth of our Savior. It's a story I think many of us have heard over and over in our lives. We have a young man who is engaged to a young woman preparing to start their life together. There would have been an excitement, there would have been joy in the air for the union of these two people. We know that Joseph was a simple carpenter from the scriptures. We know that he was well respected, yet was not a member of the Sanhedrin, or he wasn't a Pharisee. He was not considered a leader of his day. There's no indication that he was wealthy or anything like that either. And young Mary was but a teenager, preparing herself to take on the role of being a wife. And here we see Gabriel being sent to by God to speak to her. It tells us in verse 28, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." And we know that she was terrified inside of this moment. I would be too, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. In fact, it tells us in verse 29, but she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. I think all of us can find ourselves in that state if an angel came to us. You see, Mary didn't see herself as somebody special inside of that moment. She didn't see herself as somebody extra holy. Simply, she was somebody that loved God and wanted to do what was right. And she wanted to serve God. And here was an angel saying that she was a favored woman, that she didn't understand how this could be. And I think we can relate to this often. We can relate how Mary felt inside of that moment. You know, God often asks us to do things that don't make sense inside of our minds. God may ask us to stop and pray for somebody just suddenly that comes to mind, and we have to pause and we have to pray and we may wonder why. God may ask us to speak to somebody and we may wonder, why me, Lord? Why are you sending me inside of this moment? God often asks us to do very difficult things. And we simply think, why not send somebody else? Lord, don't you know who I am? Don't you know the sinner in which I am? You know, I even find myself in that position often. Of God, why did you choose me? God, why would you ask me to go out and to preach? Why would you ask me to be a pastor? Why would you ask me to do all this? You know my struggles. You know my imperfections. You know that there are others who are more qualified. Yet why would you choose me inside of this moment? But it's in those moments that we need to reflect back on the stories in the Bible where he talks about God using those imperfect people to do extraordinary things. These people that we would never assume to do anything. We need to remember what God says in 1 Samuel, what we read earlier, where it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his statures, because I have rejected him. Humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart." God doesn't look at the world the same way as we look at the world. He doesn't judge the world in the same way that we judge the world. God often doesn't look at us the same way that we look at ourselves. God looks inside of our hearts. He sees parts of us that may not even be visible to us. Just like God inside of this moment was doing with Mary. Mary was perplexed on why God would come to her, why God would use her. Yes, she loved God. Yes, she loved him and wanted to serve him dearly. But she didn't see what made her so favored. The passage continues in verses 30 through 33. And it says, and the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." It's inside of this moment that we hear the angel outlining the fulfillment of the promises that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Moses. That he's fulfilling the promise of King David and that he would be an everlasting kingdom. And he came to Mary and he told her that she gets to be part of this. That she gets to be part of this process. And Mary finds herself questioning, how could this be? It says in verse 34, Mary asked the angel, how can this be since I've not had sexual relations with a man? Mary understood what the angel was saying, but she also knew something else needed to happen to be able to become pregnant. And it's something she hadn't done. And the angel explains in 35 through 37 and says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who is called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God. You know, if God says it's going to happen, we can count on it happening. God made a promise thousands of years beforehand that he would send his son, that he would send the Messiah to restore mankind to himself, and that's exactly what he did. That's what we're celebrating this Christmas, is God with us, God fulfilling his promises. And Mary answered in the most amazing way in verse 38. She simply says, see, I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it happen to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. Mary understood the high cost inside of this moment. She understood that she would have been ridiculed, that even underneath the law, she could be stoned to death. She understood the cost of saying yes to God inside of this moment. I mean, how is she going to explain to her fiancé that she's pregnant when he's going to clearly know it's not his? I mean, can you imagine having to go to your fiance and explain that you're pregnant and it's not theirs? Can we say an awkward conversation? Yet she trusted God in the middle of that moment. She knew if God asked her to do it, that he would take care of it. She had faith. She had trust. And as much as Mary had to trust God, we know that Joseph also had to trust God. When we flip over to the book of Matthew, we see in the first chapter, it tells us in verse 18 and 19, the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. And I don't know if you guys remember or not from last year, but in the culture of that day, you were engaged and then you got married, but an engagement was basically the same as marriage and you had to go for divorce to call off an engagement. It isn't like it is today. And Joseph wasn't buying the story from Mary right away. So much so that he actually planned on leaving her, but he wanted to do it in the most respectful way that he could. And as the story continues, the scriptures tell us that an angel came and spoke to Joseph about the son that Mary was carrying. He reminded Joseph about the passage in Isaiah 7:14, where it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. Christmas is the fulfillment of a prophecy thousands of years before Jesus. And that Emmanuel means God with us. Joseph was asked to do a very difficult thing inside of this moment. Joseph was an ordinary man being asked to do an extraordinary thing. He was being asked to take a woman who was pregnant with someone that was not his son and still marry her, understanding that within his culture that he lived, that he would be ridiculed and persecuted for it. Understanding that others may look down on him for this. Understanding that not everyone may understand why he did it. And it tells us that he did as the Lord commanded him to do. And you don't just have to take Joseph and Mary's word for inside of this moment about who Jesus is, about who their son is. You know, it wasn't just Joseph and Mary going around and telling people that this is the Messiah, that Mary is carrying the Messiah. There was others that testified to this even early on. You know, while Mary was pregnant, she went to visit her relative Elizabeth. And when she got there, the scriptures tell us in Luke 1, 42 to 43, that Elizabeth, she cried out. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" We know that after Mary gave birth, that there were shepherds in the field watching over the flock when an angel of God showed up to them and proclaimed the good news of great joy for all the people. It tells us in Luke 2:11, "Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find him wrapped tightly in cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to the people he favors." On top of that, there was a man in Jerusalem by the name of Simon. This was a righteous and devout man who was well respected by the people. And God had told him that he would not see death until he saw the Messiah. And one day as they were walking into the temple, they being Joseph and Mary, they brought Jesus into the temple to perform what was customary underneath the law to make a sacrifice for Jesus. And it tells us in Luke 2:28 to 32, Simon took him up on his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." And if we flip over to Matthew chapter 2, we have an account of the wise men coming to visit Jesus. And they state in verse 2, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." Over and over again, it's not just Joseph and Mary's account that we have that Jesus is the Messiah. It's not even just the account of the disciples later on. After Jesus was born, there was numerous people who proclaimed that the Messiah had come. And that's what we're celebrating this Christmas, is God with us. And that God fulfills his promise as he said. And he did it with some of the most unlikely of people. These were not people that were royal people. These were not people that were upper end of society. These were ordinary people that were asked to do extraordinary things. And to this day, God still works through ordinary people. He still works through people like you and me. And he's not worried about our degrees. He's not worried about our past. He's not worried about the mistakes we've made. What God is looking for is people to simply say yes to what he's asked them to do. To step out in faith and to be that hands and feet of Jesus to the world around us. To proclaim the good news of the gospel to others. You know, since I've gotten here, we've seen great growth inside of the church. Not just on numbers, but we've seen people get baptized. We've seen people profess Jesus for the first time. And we've seen these things happen over and over again. And that's not because of me. That's because of the Holy Spirit working through each one of us. But it requires each of us to continuously say yes to God. It requires each of us to continuously say yes to the mission that he's given us to reach out into our community, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be a light inside of a dark world. And that we don't take for granted this gift that God has given us, this thing that we're celebrating on Christmas morning. Instead, we share it with the world around us, not to hide it, but let his light shine bright. Because I'm going to tell you this morning, each one of you have a calling on your life. Each one of you have a responsibility to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And the question is, are you willing to say yes? Or do you hide it and keep it to yourselves? Are you willing to answer like Joseph and Mary did and simply say yes? My question to you this morning as we go into the Christmas season is simple. What is God asking you to do? Let's go to the Lord in prayer as the worship team comes forward. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we know that there's a calling on each one of our lives. Father, for some, they're running. For others, they're still searching to try to see it. Father, I ask that you just make it perfectly clear to each one of us. The Father, that we can look back through the scriptures. And Lord, that we may say, yes, send me, Lord. Lord, I know that we all have struggles. We also know that we've been given this free gift through your Son. That's what we're celebrating this Christmas. Father, that you've already qualified us for whatever you have in store for us. We simply need to say yes and to walk forward. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your Son and for your word. I pray all this in Jesus' name.
Are you Lord God?
do want to make one quick comment. As I stated, I am far from perfect. I made a slip earlier. And there should be a word wife after that last statement. So for those of you who caught it, that's what I was trying to say. So, but I am more than willing to admit, like I said, I am far from perfect as well. But as you guys go out this week, may God bless you guys, may he keep you, may he make his face shine upon you, and may he give you rest. And may you search your hearts of what God has and what he's calling you to, because he has a calling for each one of us. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.